Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Steve McDonald.
Good morning, Calvary. Welcome to Church Online. And the crowd went... crazy. Well, today we have a studio audience here in the church. Our dedicated staff and our Team Calvary volunteers are here. So thank you for coming, everybody. And all of you out there in your homes, cozy, in your pajamas, welcome to church. It's an incredible opportunity for us to bring everybody together online. The only thing that's missing in this wonderful auditorium is your smiling face. And so we're looking forward to your return at some point. But for now, the church cannot be stopped. We keep marching on. And now we've expanded. I think today is unlike any other day in our church's history, right? If you look back, I think that everyone would agree that we're living in very unique times, a day that is probably we're hard-pressed to compare with anything else that we've ever gone through. And so it's very interesting and encouraging for me to see how the church comes together. So today, our church, like so many other churches across Canada and around our city, today our church is launching multiple micro campuses in living rooms and in homes and on the SkyTrain around a mobile phone at an office. Wherever you are, that's where the church is. The church is not a building. The church is the people. And so wherever you are, whatever you're doing, that's where you can shine. And so the dress code is much more relaxed at our micro campuses, right? The coffee is fresh and bottomless. The company is outstanding. Hopefully you enjoy the company, the dress code, much more relaxed. And so enjoy church today. It is a privilege for us to come into your home today and to be a part of your Sunday as we celebrate the Lord together. And although, as Brad said, our physical location is closed, the ministry, the mission of the church, it doesn't stop. It continues on. And so you heard the ways that you can stay in touch. Please watch our social media, Calvary Connect, our website. All of these things will be up to date with the latest information that you need to know from week to week. And so as things progress, you can see when we're coming back. We'll let you know with lots of notice. But in the meantime, let's be full of faith. Let's be filled with hope for the time that we're in. Let's use discernment to keep our families and our neighbors safe. Let's do our part as we navigate this time together. And really, we're meeting now just like the early church did, right? In homes. We're coming together in smaller groups. And so I think it's a wonderful thing. And never forget this. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Romans. Romans 8, verse 28. It says, "And we know that in all things," and that would include the all things that we're experiencing right now, "that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called," that's you and me, "according to his purpose." That's the truth that we're standing on, especially in this season right now. And moving forward, I want to encourage you to reach out. Have your friends gather on Sunday. Get your small group together for a watch party. Get the coffee brewing. And then send us some pictures of who you're watching the service with this morning. And we want to encourage one another. And I think you and I need to realize that we've been created for such a time as this. God knew exactly what was going to be happening this year in 2020. And he saved you for this time, for you to shine in this time. That no matter how dark it gets, that we as the church, man, we were born for this moment. And so I want to encourage you to embrace it. And I think this series that we're in, our Greater Than series, could not have been tailored more perfectly for the things that we're facing today as a city and as a nation. I was out and about this week and heard many people saying the same things, similar to what you heard Pastor Vince say this morning. I was in a place where the TV was playing and the news was on, and the guy next to me, he says, "Man, what's the world coming to? Tom Hanks is sick now," as if like that is the sign that it's all over. "It's Tom Hanks! Buzz Lightyear, he's affected, right? What are we going to do?" And Woody, they were Tom Hanks and and Tim Allen were back and forth on Twitter this week encouraging one another as Tom Hanks and his wife are in isolation. But when people see people that they're familiar with, it shakes them, right? And you go into the grocery store and there's, for whatever reason, people need toilet paper. More toilet paper now than ever before. Apparently, the last days include a lot of visits to the washroom, and so you need to make sure that you're stocked up. Hand sanitizer, we can't find it. The borders are shutting down. Disney World and Italy both closed. What's going on, right? Planes are being grounded. Travel and borders are being affected, and so some people get that feeling like, we can't even watch hockey. Or basketball. Everybody is shutting everything down. And so it's easy sometimes to get caught up in the hysteria. And so for many people, the truth is it feels like the end of the world. And that's alarming. And so we need to guard ourselves against waking up every single day with that Chicken Little mentality, which is, you know, going around and yelling at everybody, the sky is falling. Like, the sky is falling. And yet that's the fear that we feel in the day that we're living in, because in this panic-fueled time, the only thing that's spreading faster than the coronavirus is fear, right? It is the more damaging plague, I believe, that the world is dealing with right now, because people become immobilized by it. It stops the forward motion of our lives. And so we need to identify that, but the truth still remains. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's not changing. None of this snuck up on God. Whoa, wash your hands. Like, we need more hand sanitizer down there. Help these people. No, God is not freaked out by any of this. He is still on the throne. He is still in control. He's not only in control of the world, but he's in control of your life. And so when you have the greater one abiding within you, you can navigate troubled times a little easier. And I think at this moment in history, the Spirit of God is speaking one simple word into the world today, and that word is for you in your living room, wherever you're gathering today. And that's the word peace. Peace. In Jesus' name, I speak peace. Peace to your mind, peace to your family, peace to the city. Because we need to believe as the church that now is the time for us to shine brighter than ever before. And don't panic. Don't worry, don't be anxious, because the truth is, in John 16:33, this is how we started this series, this scripture. The scripture couldn't have been written any more perfectly for the day that we're in. John 16:33 says, I have told you these things so that in me, in Jesus, you might have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. And quarantines and isolation. That is the reality that we're faced with. But take heart, the Bible says, be of good courage. Take heart, because I have overcome the world. So the one who has overcome a world of trouble, who has overcome pestilence and plagues, the greater one is still greater than. Amen? He's still greater than. He's greater than our troubles. He's greater than our doubt. And he's certainly, most certainly greater than a virus. So in this day, in the day that we gather as the Church of Jesus Christ, together in living rooms, in hotel rooms, in office towers, I believe God wants us to know deep within our hearts that Jesus is greater than your fears. You need to know that. Because the one that you love, the one who abides within you, has already conquered the feelings that you're feeling today, the feelings that your loved ones are feeling. And let's discover the possibility in the problem. There are opportunities in every crisis for the church to minister to needy people. That is the reality. And I'm going to give you the solution. Here is the solution. And the solution hasn't changed. And it's not my solution. It's not the government's solution. It's not BC Health's solution. It is the solution that God has put in place. And it is still the same. Do you know what it is? It's the church. It's you and it's me. With boots on the ground, God wants to use you and I, the church, to speak peace into the storm. Not just to hear it from a pulpit, but to hear it from every one of you, in every one of your homes, whoever gathers, whoever your neighbors are. Whoever's down the hall in your apartment building, wherever you are, speak peace to the world that we're living in because people need it. He's called us to minister his love to those that are overwhelmed and fearful. People that can't sleep at night because some of these perceived threats are coming so close to their door that they don't know how to deal with it. A.W. Tozer once said this, "A scared world needs a fearless church." Isn't that great? A scared world needs a fearless church. That's you. That's me. Now, we may not always feel fearless. That's the reality of things. But the one who is greater than our fears still abides within us. And we know that there could be more challenging days ahead. The coronavirus has the potential to affect us or to affect someone that we love, someone that's close to us. Those are realities. And it could affect us in a variety of different ways. Now, with the safety guidelines that we've been given, and we're reading about it, and we're hearing press conferences about it, we're reading tweets and seeing people talk about it all the time, we understand that for some, this virus will affect people physically, biologically, right? That's just the reality. Some people will get the symptoms. Some will isolate themselves and recover and get well. And we're believing for their recovery. That's the truth. It will affect some physically. And as we battle this spread of what the virus is through kind of social isolation, canceling events, and limiting large public gatherings, the truth is it's going to cause some people to feel disconnected from other people, which we are wired for. We're wired for that kind of connection. And so as a church, all of you, you need to realize that you have an opportunity to minister and love the people that feel disconnected during these times. And for others, especially for those of you in the business community, this situation is going to have a financial impact on the world, on our city. Right? Small businesses, some jobs and careers, they're going to be heavy hit by some of the things that we're experiencing. When businesses shut down their services, it affects the people, the moms and dads who are putting food on the table. So you need to understand that it's going to be a financial crisis for some people. And so they're going to need to be ministered to in a different way. And these are the troubled times that Jesus was talking about in John chapter 16. But I believe that this is still an opportunity for the church to actually be the church. This has always been who we are, and it will always be our calling. As followers of Christ, we learn from Jesus how to demonstrate radical love in times of crisis. And we have an open door right now to show compassion to the people who are vulnerable, to those that are hurting the most. This is the church. That is what the church has been born for. We were made for this time, for this exact situation. Now, love is not legalistic. Love is full of wisdom. Love can move quickly to minister to needs that are constantly changing. But we need to learn how to love better. We need to love well. And sometimes loving well can actually mean keeping our distance, limiting physical contact in large groups. These are practical ways that we can show our love and express our heart for those around us, to care for them. But there's also other situations where someone is feeling so isolated that they can begin to be affected psychologically. That for them, loving them well means sometimes getting closer to them, finding opportunities to call, to check in on them, to be there for those types of people. Every person is different, and so is every need. And love is also creative. Love gives us the opportunity to find ways to bless people, to serve them in their need, with whatever situation they're going through, to provide care for people. There's people that now are coming back from spring break that are going into isolation or quarantine for 14 days, right? That's going to change a lot of things. But it's an opportunity for you and me, whether you go in their house or not, to drop off groceries, to buy a little extra. When you're out grabbing toilet paper for the family, that you grab a couple extra rolls for your friend who's just got back from holidays or had to cut their trip short and come home. Instead of thinking only about yourself during times of crisis, think about those who are even less fortunate than you are. In our church, we are an intergenerational church, and so we have a heightened level of concern for our senior community. So we don't want to put them at risk. But some of them are not venturing out because they want to stay safe. They're open to more viruses and things that can happen, whether it's a cold or whether it's this coronavirus. So check in on them. Look for ways that you can call them, say hello, take a few groceries over to them. And as we do this, we will move our concern from just ourselves to the people that are around us. The truth is, many parents are struggling. Because parents are struggling to educate their kids. They want them to understand what's going on so that they're kept safe. But they don't want to over-inform them, right? Because they don't want them to be fearful. This is a reality in parenting right now. But I believe that one of the best ways to lead your children through difficult times is loving like Jesus did, being the church in the community. Take them with you to the grocery store. Go buy some extra supplies. Visit some people within our church or within your neighborhood. Take them with you so that instead of just sitting at home waiting for the next report and thinking about how it affects you, look for ways that you as the church can express the love of Jesus in a practical way to the people that are around us. Give your children an experience during troubled times. I'm not just talking about little kids. I'm talking about your teenagers. Take them with you to get out there and minister to people. Show them the Jesus response in a time of crisis instead of a Chicken Little response in times of crisis. Because many people are doing that right now. And then be uncommonly generous with everyone else. With those that are maybe stocking up on their own supplies and locking their bomb shelter door behind them. Stock up on supplies that not only can fill your house, but can help to fill others. That's creative ways that we can love other people. There's some people that are limited financially. And so when something like this happens, they are not as able to deal with those circumstances as maybe some of you are. So find ways for you to invest into them. As we continue to give to the church, we continue to have ministry that strengthens and affects the family no matter what season or time that we're in. This should actually be what the follower of Christ looks like. This is a picture of the church. It has been for hundreds and thousands of years. People have been ministering and loving other people, meeting in living rooms just like you are today. With your own family or with your small group, having a watch party. These are ways we can encourage one another, that we can strengthen one another through difficult times. It's our opportunity to be the best possible version of who God's called us to be. The best possible version of what the church should be today. Whether or not we are here in person or not, you are gathered together. And where you are and Christ is in the midst, that is where God can do miracles. Now, let me give you a great scripture that grounds all of this. A scripture that talks about how love and fear kind of relate to one another. Some of you, I think, are battling that fear right now. And I want to applaud you for tuning in today. It's a big step for some of you to reach out and connect even in this way. And so we love you. We want you to know that we're here for you, that we're praying for you. And as a church, we want to be that safe place where you can come just as you are, with all your weaknesses, with all the things that you're concerned or anxious about, and still receive the hope that you need in Jesus' name. And that's why our life groups and our small groups are so important, because it's at times like this that you want people that you can connect to, that can encourage you through difficult times, people that can speak life and peace into your situation, people that can care for one another and pray for one another. These are the times when our small groups truly shine. Here's the scripture. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. Powerful scripture. There is no fear in love. And then it goes on to explain that. But perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. I think if we were all honest, most of us are not perfect in love, right? It's an ongoing development in our lives. It takes time. Now, when it says that fear has to do with punishment, the context here is what happens after death, what eternity looks like, what awaits you on the other side. And when we know Jesus, we know that he's not a judge who's waiting to execute his sentence for the way that we've constantly blown it in our lives. He's now made a way for God to become our Father, to have this intimate, personal relationship with a loving God. And so after dying to ourself, death is actually this minor transition. You know, Vince mentioned earlier that one of the legends of our church, he passed away recently. And as we gathered in his room and he had gone and departed, the room was filled with laughter, wasn't it? It was filled with a sense of peace, knowing that it was a quick transition from his last breath to his time with Jesus in eternity. And so when you know that, the sting of death is removed. And though we will miss them in their bodily form, we know that they are experiencing something far greater right now. And so the scripture talks about that time, that death is this minor transition of what comes next, that our eternal life actually doesn't start when we take our last breath. It starts the minute you say yes to following Jesus. That's when life in Christ begins. So when we clear away the fear and the phobia of death, we can actually work backwards to the point that we're in right now, today, where we're at, where we're living in this fearless place that God wants us to be now that the sting of death is gone. I was speaking to my mom and dad yesterday on FaceTime, and we were talking about how it's affecting their city and what's happening here at the church. We were talking about the world and how it's just so unprecedented what we're seeing. And my mother said, you know what? She said, I can honestly say that I don't have any fear. Like, I trust God. She and my dad will pray for the safety and protection of their family. They'll pray for the safety and protection of God in their own lives. And she says, what do I have to fear? I have God protecting me in the here and now. And whatever day that comes when I pass from this life to the next life, it's just a graduation. I just step up the experience to what God has for me next. It's lovely to have that kind of peace. And for those who think that COVID-19 is God's punishment on a sinful world, let me tell you this. I don't think you know the Jesus that I know. I don't think you do. Because what parent would ever give poison to their children to teach them a lesson? That is not the love of the Father. I'm telling you right now. A compassionate God is not going to engineer and send a virus into the world that actually targets the weakest among us. That's not the heart of God. Because when Jesus walked the planet, he pulled those people, the disenfranchised, the people on the margin, he pulled them closer, right? He took care of them. He championed the widow and the poor. He championed the sick. He came for the sick. And so he would never do that. So judgment has nothing to do with this. 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love drives out or casts out fear. Now the word perfect here is the Greek word telos, which means the end goal or the end purpose or the final destination. So we may not have achieved perfection in our love, but this gives us a goal. It gives us something to point our lives and steer ourselves towards. That perfect love or agape, God's unconditional love, is a lifelong journey. It is our destination. So telos agape, or perfect love, drives out all fear. Jesus is greater than our fears. And it's his love operating in our lives that drives it from us. See, this verb for driving out here is actually the same verb in the Greek, in the Gospels, that refers to Jesus delivering people from unclean spirits. You remember stories in Scripture where Jesus is driving a spirit out or casting a spirit out of somebody. He drove these spirits out to deliver people from evil. So the Apostle John is saying that perfect love, it kind of performs an exorcism on our fear. It removes it from our lives. So we don't have to suffer from a fear that is affecting us, because we serve a God who loves us, who is for us, who's on our side, and who's given us the authority to cast or drive out that fear from our lives so that love deals with it. This perfect love John is referring to moves us to a place where we're not just thinking and obsessing about ourselves. We move from a me-centric lifestyle to an others-centric Christ-centric lifestyle, where we're not just thinking about ourselves, we're thinking about the people around us. Because if you're reading the news and going through a crisis, you can be sure that your neighbor is too. So you have an opportunity in Jesus' name to lessen that fear, to drive that fear out, and to replace it with hope. This is this beautiful picture of the church when it's in the middle of a city that's gripped by fear. So how can we love creatively? How can we love those that are on the outside looking in? Because this is the challenge for our church. This is the challenge for the church, to be who we've always been meant to be, to love in a way that is best for every situation, no matter what that situation is. Sometimes it's not even saying much. It's just being there for people. Sometimes a call or a knock on the door can be a great surprise to somebody who isn't expecting to see or hear from anybody. You have the opportunity to be Jesus with skin on, to be his hands extended to the world. The church, listen to me, the church was born for troubled times. It's the time in our lives where we need to step out from the wings and into the spotlight to be who we've been called to be. This is when Jesus shines the brightest, when the need is at its greatest point. We've all experienced fear. That's the truth. As a matter of fact, I think God can use certain elements of fear to protect us, right? I'm not a fan of heights. You know, I don't mind heights if it's enclosed. I can go to Taipei 101 or the CN Tower and dance on the glass floor. That doesn't bother me, because I feel, maybe naively, that I'm safe, that whoever's engineered it has done their homework. I'm trusting in them. But I see pictures of people, you know, standing on top of buildings just to get an Instagram shot, or hopping parkour over the side of buildings, or walking along the edge of a crazy high cliff with no support and nothing to catch you. That just brings a little bit of fear in my heart, but God uses it to say, just don't do that. Avoid those situations. I'm not going for an Instagram shoot with you if we're going to the top of a building downtown just to get an incredible shot. But the truth is, there is a darker side to fear, right? We would all agree. An immobilizing fear can prevent you from moving forward in your life. It can arrest your development. It can stop you from continuing. And I want to tell you right now, as you're tuning in online, that if you're experiencing that today, then today, in Jesus' name, he can drive that fear out. He can cast it off, and he can fill you with his unconditional love. He doesn't want you to stay there in this disorienting place where you feel that anything could happen. He doesn't want you in that place. He gives us this answer to how we can overcome fear. It's not complicated, but we need to hear it. The answer to overcoming fear is himself. It's Jesus. He's greater than our fear. And this is the action here in Psalm 56, verse 3, that he wants us to take. It says, but when I am afraid, I will put my confidence in what? Hand sanitizer? You get a bunch of masks, right? We'll get some more masks. Order more masks, right? I will put my confidence in the isolation. I'm staying in my house with Netflix for the rest of the year. I will see you in 2021. No. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, I will put my confidence in you, in Jesus. Yes, I will trust the promises of God. That's what I will do. And since I am trusting him, what can mere man do to me or for me? You see, my hope is not in man's ability to stop the plague, and we are believing for some inroads in that way. But my confidence is in God's ability to deliver me from immobilizing fear that stops the progress of my life. Fear will happen. We can let fear take root in us and give way to panic and hysteria. Or we can trust the one who is greater than that fear and move from fear to faith. Hebrews, the book that we've been looking at throughout this series, in chapter 10, verse 23 says this, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope that we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways, listen, Church, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. You know, in the days ahead, as we abide under the shadow of the Almighty, let's pray Psalm 91 over our families. Let's pray Psalm 91 over our lives every single day. Print it off, stick it on the fridge, put it on your phone, put it on the mirror in the bathroom. Wherever you got to see that scripture every day, realize that you abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And 10,000 will fall at your right hand, and all of this calamity can be around you, but you can trust that God will keep you steady and sure. But you need to pray and believe that the one who is greater than these things will hold you strong. And then let's motivate one another to be the church in troubled times. We have an opportunity to love well, to cast out fear in the way that we serve and love people practically. Would you bow your heads wherever you are right now and let's pray together. Today, as you sit in your homes or wherever you are, I want you to know that if you're tuning in today and you do not know Jesus, that you can. And I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. As a matter of fact, you can find this same prayer on our website. And if you pray it, we want to celebrate with you. Send us your information, and we want to get you some resources to help you. But if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know the one that's greater than fear, today, right now, you can. Pray this simple prayer with me. Bow your head, close your eyes. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are greater than my fear. I thank you that you died on a cross to forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior, my great hope, even in times of trouble. I thank you that you have overcome trouble for me, and I trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer this morning, we celebrate with you. And we want you to know that as a church, we're here in your corner. We're here at our ministry team to pray and to support you. Now I want to pray for the rest of you. Those of you that know Jesus, that are gathering as our church today, that are dealing with fear, that are dealing with the realities of how it affects your life. I want to pray for you too. Father, right now in Jesus' name, in every living room, on every computer, on every phone, I pray right now for people to be delivered from fear, to be filled with love and peace, and to know that you are still in control of our world and our lives. And I speak that peace into your home. I speak that peace into your family, into your life today. And today, in Jesus' name, we as the church stand with churches all around the world, with believers who know that you can provide an answer, believing for an end to this virus and a return to life as we knew it. God, I pray that in the meantime, we would be the church. We would be there, be strong for one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.